It's Mike Griffith from the AJC's Dog Nation. And Griff, a lot of things we can talk about, but we've been kind of fixated for a little bit here on the show on Quinn Ewers, a quarterback in the Dallas area, skipping his senior year. He's going to go ahead and enroll at Ohio State. He's already been promised about $1 million in name, image, likeness, reportedly now. Your thoughts on that whole aspect. Is that now going to be an item?
Well, I mean, JT Daniels did it. The Georgia quarterback did it. That was, you can add him to the list.
He skipped his senior year of high school?
Yeah.
I didn't remember
that.
Did. Wow. I did not remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, he skipped his senior year of high school, and the reason why was because Matt Corral parted ways with USC in recruiting, or I should say USC parted ways with Matt Corral. And so JT realized if he reclassified, he could be the guy. And so he reclassified and skipped his senior year and went to USC. The problem was he inherited a pretty bad offensive line, and they moved a lineman to center that had never played center. And, I was talking to T. Martin about this because T was out there. And, why did JT have such a rocky freshman year? And we were talking about all the issues that they were having with their offensive line and their center exchanges. So, he was having, three or four bad center exchanges per game in the shotgun. It really threw off the timing. And, obviously for an incoming true freshman who should be a senior in high school, really kind of messed up his numbers. He still had some big numbers. He threw for over 300 yards on Notre Dame in Texas, and he beat Gardner Minshew and Leach in a shootout up in Washington State. He did some things out there, but his overall numbers weren't great. A lot of people look at that and go, "Oh yeah, well, he's a disappointment." They don't really know what happened because they didn't watch USC. But my thoughts on that, it's challenging. It's like any other freshman coming in. I mean, you saw Justin Fields at Georgia. Had trouble grasping, like any freshman would, a pro-style offense. People just don't understand. They just think anybody can just go out there like it's Madden and just play quarterback. And it just doesn't work that way. It's like flying a jet. I mean, there are so many controls, so many things you have to learn. There's so much timing. It goes beyond just throwing the football and finding the open receiver. It's identifying defense. It's identifying pressures. It's setting protections. It's adjusting routes. It's calling these complex plays. It's making the right read with each receiver and then doing all it in 25 seconds. It's a remarkably difficult thing to do. And so I'm not saying that he can't do it. Maybe they'll simplify it, right? Some teams really dumb it down and simplify it, for the sake of execution and say, well, we're just not going to do as much. But then again, you're not as able to adjust to the defense. Now, if you've got a lot of talent, or a talent discrepancy like Oklahoma and Ohio State present, when you have that much more talent than your opponent, you can kind of get away with keeping it simple. But when you're playing against great defenses, as you saw what happened with Ohio State against Alabama, for example, in the national championship game, that didn't look like the same offense we saw, right, before. You play against really good defense, and that's where you need to be able to adjust at the line of scrimmage and use the whole field instead of half a field. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I guess my answer would be skeptical unless they can really simplify it.
Yeah, and we were talking about it prior, Griff. Number one, you'd have to have your class load in order to leave a total year early in high school now. Then, with name, image, likeness, I would say this is about the money. He's been promised, reportedly, a lot of money in name, image, likeness endorsements. And you got to be good enough to be wanted that early by a team. And, Griff, here's the other thing. You've got an 85 scholarship limit. Sometimes that's tough. So you got to check a bunch of boxes to be able to do that.
Well, you've got to be careful on the name, image, likeness because name, image, likeness is not supposed to be used
right.
As a recruiting inducement. It's supposed to be able to be something you get after you're at a school. So, I don't think anybody is overtly saying, hey, if you come to our school, you're going to have $1 million in name, image, likeness, because that would be a violation. So now that's not to say that a brand couldn't have made a deal with them prior to him selecting, and I'm not sure how the Ohio bill reads on that. Every state is a little different, but I know right. I know in Georgia, you're not supposed to use it as an inducement, and you can't. Even really before July 1, you weren't even able to negotiate. So, We know this is a can of worms. We knew it would be a can of worms. We knew there were going to be some compliance issues. We knew there would be some confusion. We knew there would need to be education. But at the end of the day, the NCAA is just talking about disband, changing the way they do business, essentially, and letting the conferences govern themselves. I mean, it just kind of sounds like all heck's broken loose.
Mike Griffith with the AJC's Dog Nation joins us on Tuesdays. Griff, what's the camp plan for Georgia? When does this all get started?
I think it starts Friday. I think so.
Get started Friday. Okay. And like you've told us through the years, I do get excited for camp because it means football's progressing and we're getting there. But there's so much access that is now limited, Griff, that I don't even know if I get all that excited about camp anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you can watch NFL guys practice and read about their reports, and they play
right.
The most competitive game in the world. But, these college coaches have so much power. They got too much power, and they're, beyond reproach. They don't want people in there saying, hey, this guy looks really good, or that guy didn't look so good, because then they start somebody and everybody goes, hey, we heard in practice he didn't look good, and you started him anyway. They don't like being second guessed. They can't handle it. They got a lot of power, and they don't want the second guessing. And, the fans say, hey, if it helps the team win, then by all means, keep everybody locked out. And I just look at it, and I said, I don't know if that helps your team win. I covered 98 Tennessee with open practices. I don't think it affected the Vols in 98. I don't think it affected Auburn in 93. And listen, when we talk about open practices, we're not talking about standing there for 3 hours watching the whole thing. We're talking about watching 15 minutes. So what they'll do, what some teams will do, I know Clemson, they'll allow you in for some viewing periods. Watch them do warm-ups and everything. It's not great. It's better than nothing. But right now, Georgia is still locked down. It's interesting because the state is somewhat liberal, I would say, with the mask rules, relatively. But the school is still on lockdown. I think our availability Friday will be via a Zoom call. So I would anticipate they'll do that as long as they can.
Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation, joins us. Who would be the incumbent right now, Griff, as the first backup quarterback?
That's a great question. I don't know. Carson Beck is probably two, but, if you're talking about the Clemson game, Stetson Bennett's a guy that's played in a lot of big games. And, while he certainly doesn't have the physical upside that Beck does, he's got experience. So I think it depends on the situation early in the season. Until Beck gets snaps and experience under his belt. And I don't know how long that'll take because, JT's only played four games with these guys. So it's not like you want to be pulling him out at halftime. I mean, he needs work and he needs to get the timing down with these receivers. It's only year two of the offense. And, his next outing will be his fifth game at Georgia.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. So do you think if it was the first game, do you think they would trot Bennett out there first with an injury to Daniels?
Just depends.
Yeah.
I that would be what I would think, but it would depend on, game time, situation, and how Beck does in camp. Beck had a really good spring. How much has he progressed during the off season? How do things go in fall camp? I mean, those are questions I can't answer right now.
That's a good point. I do want to review with you. I know I've asked you a couple times, but give the audience a couple of spots or individual newcomers who could step in and show what they can do.
Well, Georgia did really well with the portal. Now, they've lost 17 guys to the portal the last 2 years, but they've gained back, I want to say, five or six. And this year, they gained three. Okay, so Darian Kendrick is a transfer corner from Clemson. I expect he'll start. Tyke Smith is a transfer DB from West Virginia. I think he'll start at the star position. And Rick Gilbert came from LSU, wants to play receiver. So he's going to start out there at the X where Pickens would be had he not suffered the knee injury in March. So those are three guys right there that are newcomers. As far as freshmen, Amarius Mims is this monstrous offensive lineman, five-star. What has Cole Kubelik said when God created linemen, this is what he had in mind. How quickly can a true freshman start? especially with Clemson in your opener, I got a question. But I think Amarius Mims is a guy we're going to see play this season. Pretty dynamic. Let's see, other newcomers. I think for the most part, I think I've covered the ground of the guys that – oh, I guess Adonai Mitchell is a guy, you know, that showed up in the spring. He's another option at the X. More of a guy that can stretch the field, a quick twitch guy. So I could see him making an impact as well.
Griff, always a pleasure, sir. We'll see you next week.
All right, Bill, have a good one.
Mike Griffith from the AJC's Dog Nation. He checks in with us.